We hope you have a great time. Remember to check out musicmidtown.com for the complete lineup. For Friday and Saturday in September should be an awful lot of fun at Atlanta's Piedmont Park. This time, every Friday, we normally talk to Rick Limpert, but since it's Thursday and it actually kind of, because of the three-day weekend, is and really does feel like a Friday, we'll talk to Rick Limpert today. He is our technology correspondent, joins us each week. You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Roswell and read his daily technology column on examiner.com. He also contributes to Yahoo News and Sports. Rick, happy 4th to you, sir.
Happy 4th to you, Sully. And I don't know what day it is anyway. I have to look at my Google calendar each morning to see what day it is.
This is one of those days, and I really love it, because there's no traffic and nobody is in the office doing anything. And it gives the working people, like Theme Park Chris and I, the opportunity to get some stuff done.
And it gave me an open golf course this morning with nobody on for my dad and I to get a quick round in.
Oh, man, that's cool, dude. What a treat to be able to play golf with your dad. I'm glad that, I'm really glad that you had the opportunity to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun, man.
It was a blast.
Okay, so let's dive right into our tech segment with you. What's up with this Facebook massive psychological experiment that they performed on us? Did they really do this to us?
Yeah, they did this to us by changing their service agreement about a year ago. That, you know, just check that, I agree with, nobody ever reads those. But they changed it, and in the meantime, after that, they conducted a kind of an experiment with about 700,000 users where they manipulated which posts people would see, and they kind of found out that seeing negative posts made positive posts on Facebook. So they're always doing these little tweaks and experiments, I think, to see what advertising and what promotional ads they should put in front of people. And maybe they're trying to find out if people see a lot of positive news, they'll click on ads. I mean, so this is kind of, when you get on Facebook and click those service agreements, this is kind of what you're opening yourself up to.
Yeah, you just really hit the nail on the head. The terms of service, we so often just check that box and we don't even read any of that stuff. And often there's, you know, two or three pages worth of stuff that you have to scroll down. And it really can get us on the hook for a lot of different things. And I've really noticed that there's been quite a bit of change dramatically over the last number of months in terms of the way that Facebook is putting these ads out there. They have to be making a lot of money because there seems to be a lot more of them.
Yeah, what's really amazing is I have multiple computers, so yeah, at different locations, and I searched for something at one location, and then when I'm at home, the Facebook would know what I searched for and put that ad, a relevant ad up about that on my home computer. So they're in this to win it, and it's kind of scary, but I can see kind of what they're trying to do.
Oh, they know everything about you and I, Rick. Everything.
Not everything.
Secret browsers to look at some of that other stuff on the internet, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few weeks.
Okay, you got it. The U.S. Supreme Court wrapped up its session this week with a couple of rulings, and one of them applying to Google. Tell us about the Street View appeal.
Yeah, here's another privacy issue to talk about. You see, and I've seen them around Atlanta, those Google street cars that drive around taking pictures and things for Google, the Google website. And the Google Maps and Street View and those things. Now, the Supreme Court has rejected Google's appeal, saying they can't show certain things like license plates and maybe addresses or, you know, even people's Sundays and, you know, in front of their house or, you know, those type of things. So Google tried appealing the decision. The Supreme Court rejected it, so Google really has to watch what they put up on those Street View sites.
Well, they wield an extraordinarily large amount of power, does Google, especially as it relates to intelligence. Anybody who's taken a look at, you know, Google Maps or satellite knows that you can poke around and literally look into somebody's backyard, and not just the backyard of a resident, but also a company. Google has a wealth of information thanks to all the collections of it that they do.
You can learn a lot about the household or a person by looking at their picture on Google Street View.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no way around it. That's not going away. But as far as, you know, showing a license plate or, you know, kids playing in the yard, just personal things, Google has been limited in what they can show now.
Well, Matt, at least we're having a little bit of privacy. That's good to know. The NSA isn't gonna hold back on any of that. They're still going to know everything that we're doing.
They know everything about it.
So soon we're going to be able to send SMS text messages to toll-free helplines.
Yeah, I like this. And this was talked about at that Google show I was at a month or so ago. You know, we all call 1-800 numbers, helplines, and customer service lines. Now we're going to be able to send text messages instead of calling and waiting on hold. And then they'll get back with us with the answer to our question or a direct number to call. So I think this is real positive. This is real helpful.
You know, there are a lot of people, too, especially as it relates to customer service in retail environments, that use Twitter specifically. They say they get a lot of immediate response from mentioning customer service issues on Twitter.
Yeah, I've used it recently in the last couple of weeks for a customer service issue I got. And not only did I get help from the company I was having a problem with, I got Twitter messages from competitors of that company saying, hey, if you're not happy with them, give us a call. So that's another way to do it.
We're talking with Rick Limpert, as we do every week here on Talk Radio 640 WGST. You can read his daily technology column on examiner.com. He also is a correspondent for Yahoo News and Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Rick Limpert. The Red Cross has released a new app that is really imperative to families here.
I like this as well. So the Red Cross has a series of great apps out. Now, I know you mentioned it and covered it a little bit on your show, all these drownings that lakes and pools always in Atlanta in the summertime. And now the Red Cross has an app that's hoping that they hope will help promote water safety and give information to caregivers and parents and again, young people who actually look at apps. So it's not a replacement for taking swimming lessons and learning how to swim, but it gives hints on pool safety and water safety, and I think this is a great thing. I hate to see all those drownings. I'm sure, you know, with the 4th of July weekend, there'll be some more horrific stories on those types of things. So anything that helps, I'm all for.
Absolutely, and anyone who is going to be around kids this long weekend or maybe heading out to the lake, seriously, a visit to the Red Cross to look at just some of the practical things that you might not think about really will help you stay safe out there as you're enjoying your days off over the weekend. Continue our conversation here with Rick Limpert. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rick Limpert. Facial recognition coming to our car. There are a lot of different implications here. I'm kind of fascinated with this.
Yeah, this, I haven't tried this yet, but I've been reading about it. This is an initiative. It's called Project Mobile. And basically, it's going to kind of serve as your key to your car. When you get in your car, you will be able to do facial recognition and make sure and authenticate that it's actually you behind the wheel or your wife or someone that has access to drive your car. Ford is working with this now. They're working with Intel. So chances are that something will come out in the next 3 years. Usually when something like this is announced, we'll see the light of day in a couple of years. So I think this is interesting. I see problems possibly with it. What if it doesn't recognize you or, you know, if you're wearing a hat or, you know, something else. So this is sure there's going to be a little kinks in the system to work out, but this is the way carrying the key or key ring is going to be disappearing probably fairly soon.
Yeah, like I'm thinking too about how that it is a great device to protect your car and make sure that it doesn't get driven off by somebody who shouldn't be driving it. But what if you want to lend your car to your dad or your neighbor or something like that? Then it might be difficult.
There probably will be like an override code that they would have to type in or a kind of a backdoor code type thing. And I think where this really comes into play, it's really an eye scan problem. Facial recognition is one thing, but the one thing that you can't duplicate or that's a lot more accurate is that eye or retina scan. So that's probably, we're maybe 5-10 years away from something like that. That I feel a lot safer and more confident with something like that.
Well, another thing that we can't duplicate or copy is your contributions weekly to Talk Radio 640 WGST. And Rick Limpert, we thank you for them as always.
As always, thanks for having me. Have a great 4th of July and your listeners too.
You too, my friend. Be safe and be sure to follow Rick on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Rick Roswell. And check out his work on examiner.com. Happy 4th to you, my friend.
Thanks, Sully.
All right, Talk Radio 640 WGST. This is The Sully Show. Talking a little bit about the 4th of July.